Good to have you with us this morning. I'll give you the announcements here in just a moment. If you have an offering this morning in the back of the little wooden church, that's where that goes. Don't pass the plate. Certainly do take up an offering. It takes money to run a church and do things that you do, so that's where that is, right back here in the back on the left. And you be sure to remember that. The Lord speaks to your heart about it. Also, we have October 19th, 20th, and 21st here at the church seminar, 7 o'clock to 9:30 on the subject creation versus evolution. So you be sure to be here for that. Brother Ed Obey be here. Be sure to pray for him as he studies. I'm looking forward to hearing that particular seminar. I'll try to get as many young people as possible to come here for that. Any more announcements? Is that about it? Have we got anything upcoming other than that? We've been busy, tremendously busy. Men got away yesterday and went up in the mountains, had a really, really good time. Enjoyed the fellowship and time. Took Brother Hollis with us. That's why he's not here today. No, Brother Hollis is preaching down in Barbersville this morning. And he had a good time. Just had a tremendous time of fellowship together. And appreciate everybody that went. Okay? No other announcements? What we're going to deal today is with the subject of worry. We'll deal with the subject of worry. The word worry you won't find in scriptures. You'll find be careful, take no thought, care. All of that carries along the line or the thought of worry. I think worry can plague your mind, and it can take over the most. You can have the most knowledgeable Christian. Great saints of God at times can have their minds plagued with worry. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the most noble Christian, a person can be a Christian for years and know better, and yet, at times, get plagued with worry. I don't know today, maybe you come into the service today, and maybe your man has been plagued with worry. And if not today, then I can guarantee you in the future sometime it will hit your mind. And that's what this message is about today. Don't know how long it's going to be. Don't know if it's going to be long or I might break it into two. We don't know. I have a lot of things I want to cover. Just don't know. We'll see. I just feel the Lord wanted me to deal with this. Thought about it all week. I studied on it off and on all week. You know, when you do that all week long, it's dangerous when you get in the pulpit. So you don't know what's going to go on. Here's our outline, just real brief, real easy outline. We're going to look at the definition of worry so you have a good understanding of what it is. I mean, you can give an easy day. I'm going to give you a lot of definitions for it so you'll understand, you get a good full understanding of what it is. We're going to look at the dangers. It's a dangerous thing when it takes over your mind. Dangerous thing. And then we're going to look at the deliverance from it. There's 5 points under that to get rid of it, how to get rid of it. I'm going to show you how to get rid of it, okay? And I think this can be a blessing to you. Don't apply to you today. It will indeed apply to you in the future. There may be someone that you need to give this CD to, by the way, or tape to. Maybe somebody you work with, maybe someone you go to school with. This may be something that can really be used through that manner, but this is a very, very important message. I think I need to draw a distinction. This is going to sound confusing to you. There is, I believe, some good worry. You say, oh, you're wrong there. Well, there is. Just let me explain it. We like to call it care. We just change what we call it. You know, for instance, let me give you an example. There was a day in my life that I became worried about my soul. How about you? And I realized I was lost. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart, brought about a quickening in my heart, and old Jeff Arthur began. Now, we like to call that concerned about myself. It's worry. You were worried about your soul, and the difference is it drove you to do something good, and that is to go to the Master, to go to the Messiah, and trust Him as your Savior. Remember? So that was a concern or worry that drove you to do something that's good. There's a good form of it. Sometimes I get you on my mind, and you're on my heart, and I'm thinking about you, and you know what it does? I'm concerned about you. What does that mean? Well, I'm worried about you. I say that. I say, man, I've been worried about you. And what this good worry is it moves me to do something good. It moves me then to get on my knees and pray that the Lord would strengthen you or encourage you or give you grace or whatever. You see what I mean? So there is a good form. So A lot of times you don't think of it that way. There is. You may get someone on your mind and then they're on your mind. There's a concern. There's a worry over them, and it moves you to go see them. They'll knock on the door and say, hey, I'm worried about you. And it moves you to go do something. So that's the difference. There's a good worry that moves you to do something that is good. You may be concerned over your house. It's going to get robbed. What does that move you to? You're worried that I'm concerned that my house is going to get robbed. What's another word for that? Worried that your house is going to get robbed. So you take security purposes. You're concerned or you're worried over your health. And it moves you to go see a doctor. So good worry is where you get concerned in your heart and it moves you to do something that is good. So I'm not speaking on that this morning. I'm speaking on sometimes people call it toxic worry, a worry that absolutely has a negative effect in your life that moves you to do things that are wrong. So let me go ahead and give you some of the definitions we have for it. Here in Luke chapter 10, I think is a good definition given by the Master. It's Mary and Martha. We talked about this message many times. Martha, of course, had invited the Master to come for dinner. And she is preparing dinner for the Master, and the Master is sitting at the table. And Mary, of course, is sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha, on the other hand, was preparing all the meal, getting the dinner ready. Y'all ladies know how agitating that is? When you want it to be just perfect. And I tell you what, if you was cooking dinner for Jesus, would you not want it to be just perfect? Here he was at the table, and here Mary was at his feet. Martha was doing all this preparation. Well, she's getting aggravated. And she needed a little bit of help. Oftentimes when Jesus came to dinner, he brought 12 friends along with him, remember? So it could have been more. It could have been more than just him. So, I mean, she is coming unglued. Now, notice what Jesus said to her in 41. Here's a good definition of worry, I believe. Martha, Martha, thou art what? Careful. The idea of that word careful is worry. It's translated in 1 Peter 5, casting all care upon me, for I care for you. She was careful and troubled about many things. I think that's an excellent definition of worry. It's to be careful and troubled. Now, you can be careful and troubled about one thing, but sometimes we're careful and troubled about many things. And when we get in that type of position, it's kind of in your mind, you begin to be tormented in your mind, and these things roll over and over again in your mind, that it just robs you of all your joy and all your peace. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you ever been there? So that's definition number one that I wanted to give you here in Luke chapter 10, because that's what happened to Martha. She was troubled and concerned and filled with worry about many things. Now, we'll come back and refer to this later. We're just looking at the definition. Did you come in the congregation this morning and you were careful and troubled about many things? That's worry. Number two. Worry is a distrust. This is why it's a sin. Worry is a distrust of the promises of God. That's what makes it a sin. For instance, just to give you an example, I'm just introducing this now. It's going to take me a while, so you bear patience a little bit with me. It's a distrust of the promises of God. For instance, has God promised to provide your needs? We all know that. I don't need to turn to the text. God will provide all your needs according to His riches in glory. Is that all it says? Isn't that a tremendous promise? Isn't it great to have such a great provider as we have? You know, our provider never changes. Sources that He uses to provide for you changes, but your provider never does. Sources may change that He uses to provide for you. Jobs may change. Different things may change. But I have the same. You know, I had the same provider 10 years ago as I have today. And 30 years from now, if the Lord lets me live, I'll still have the same provider. Oh, Jeff, I don't know. This economy and this thing looks awful. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do 5 years. That's a sin. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do 5 years from now. Things continue the way they are as far as the finances in our land is concerned. You know what we're going to do 5 years from now? We'll still have the same provider. We're going to trust in the Lord to provide for His people. That's what we're going to do. That is that type of worry is negative, and it is a distrust of the promises of God. The first time I got out of work from Hex, where I worked there for a great number of years, and worked your way to a decent position and decent wage, and then boom, it begins to go downhill, and you begin to see it go downhill and drop downhill. And I said, "Well, I wish never, man. I don't know what I'm going to do if this job. I don't know what I'm going to do if this job runs out." That was a sin. I'm going to trust the Lord. The Lord's going to take it in. My provider was still the same. Hex was a source that God used. The provider was God. Boy, I got my walking papers that day. Got that little slip, and they said no longer. Oh, it was a terrible thing that day. I had about 60 men that worked for me, and I had to send one by one upstairs. One by one upstairs. And each one by one, they give each one of them their papers. And then I got down to the last one, and that was me. And they let me go. I wish they'd done me first instead of having to watch that. And, oh, that was a terrible time. And, man, I was tore all to pieces. And I talked to those loving people, saying, you know, they know work in West Virginia. What are you going to do now? Well, during the time frame that I was out of work, I seen the miraculous way that God provides for His people. Now, He never floated money down out of heaven to me, but He provided me places where I could work. You know, God provides for the birds. Everybody know that? But He don't cram the worms down their throat, does He? He puts them in the ground, they get them picked for them. Really? People wait for work to flow through their front window. You pray for God to provide. And then you search, and the Lord will direct your path. All God's people say it. God provided, folks. I'm going to tell you, He took care of me. I've seen how He can provide and take care of His people. Never was late on a single bill or nothing. God, I promise you, God took care of me. I learned that. When the next time it happened to me, I wasn't near as tore up as I was the first time. I knew that God would provide. Debbie said, you know, the second time it happened to me, I didn't have no unemployment. Two little kids, house payment, all that. Boom, nothing. Didn't have nothing in the bank either. No unemployment? No unemployment, nothing. Didn't have a thing. You know what? Went like that for a year and a half. Just worked different jobs, cleaned offices, cut people's grass. Whatever. You'd see me going to the Bible 1 minute, pushing a lawnmower the next, carrying a cleaning cloth the next. The Lord provided. The Lord took care. And He said, you said, Jeff, did you work? No, I just knew the Lord would take care of me. I guess I was just goofy enough. I know the Lord would take care of me. I've been there, and I knew what God's Word said, and I knew He'd provide for me. All God's people said. You see, worry is a distrust of the promises of God. And when you distrust the promise of God, you'll fall apart. Does anybody know why Simon Peter sunk? Now, don't say because he took his eyes off Jesus. I realize that. That's the most common thing. What did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little, wherefore did you doubt? You know, whenever you doubt a promise of God, you'll sink. Think about it just for a minute. Why did Simon Peter get out of the boat? Lord, if it be you, let me come to you on the water. What did Jesus say? You know, if Jesus said come, it's absolutely safe to come. He got out of the boat, and he got to looking at the circumstances. And you know, when your circumstances seem greater than the promises of God, you'll sink. Amen. That's what happened to him. So, worry is a distrust of the promises of God. That's definition number two. All this goes together. Number three, worry is fear. We call it anxiety. It's a form of fear. It's a fear of what may happen. It's a fear of what may happen or what could happen. And I was going to bring you a little thing there. It says 40% of your fear. You got down when I looked at the little illustration. Only 8% of what you worry about happens. But that never did help me none because I just figured I'd be one of the 8%. Everybody with me? So I didn't even. You know what I mean? I didn't even fool with that. Worry is a form of fear. It's a fear of what may happen or a fear of what could happen. You know how it's characterized by getting the what ifs. You ever get the what ifs? Let me give you an illustration of that. I'll give this to you in the past. Got my rotator cuff fixed where I hurt it. Trying to prove I'm still young. Tore my rotator cuff. Been tore for years, and I continued to. I just thought it would just heal up, and never it was tore. Well, I had to have surgery. Never been in a hospital in my life. And I have to work with my hands. I mean, I'm not real smart, so I have to. I'm a push-pull man, as me and brother. I push it or pull it or lift it. That's all I've ever done all my life. So I need these shoulders and these arms to work with. When I'm going to have that surgery, I got the what if. What if he messes my shoulder up and I can't lift no more? Man, you know, if I can't lift, I won't be able to work. You know, if I can't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And all the anxiety, it's fear. Fear of what could it. Hey, have you ever done that? Do you know they're going to be putting me to sleep when they're operating on me? What if I don't wake up? And then our blessed nurse back there, someone here, I don't know if it was her or not. She's a church here now, but I don't think it was her. Somebody else said, you know, they put a tube down your throat. A tube? Don't tell me that. What if I wake up and that's in my throat? Oh, I got the what ifs, and I've what ifed and what ifed, and it just filled me with anxiety. So you can see it's a form of fear. It's a fear of what may happen. It's the fear of the future. It's a fear of the unknown. It's fear of the unknown. It's what you're going to do later. You all know this particular story without me turning to it. But in the Old Testament scriptures, Elijah the prophet prophesied that 3.5 years wasn't going to rain in Israel. Everybody knows the story without me turning to it. 3.5 years wasn't going to rain. That's what God told him. That's what he told Ahab. You know, for 3.5 years it didn't rain. You know, he sent him by the brook Cherith. Ravens brought him bread and things of the morning and the evening. And he drank from that brook. And I believe he done that for about 2 years. 2.5 years. Can't remember the exact time frame. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. You know, now common sense will tell you that if there's a drought and you're drinking from a brook, that in 3.5 years, what's going to happen to it? It's going to dry up. It's going to dry up. And you know that was me. Instead of praising God that He's providing this water for me, and every day of my life that I went down to drink up thanking God for the water for that day, and then going down the next day and thanking God, I've been going, oh my, what am I going to do 2 years from now? You know what I'd have done? I'd have went down there and I'd have put a big mark there and said, oh, it's went down 4 inches. And I wouldn't be able to sleep at night for worried about the brook. What was going to happen after the brook dried up? Does anybody know? God was going to provide him somewhere else to take care of. God was always in control there. But worry is a fear of what may happen, what could happen. It's a fear of the unknown. See, I wouldn't have known what was going to happen after the brook would dry up, so that would have scared me to death. I want to know. You know what? I don't know about you, but it would have been rough on me being a children of Israel going across the wilderness because I don't like to gather my manna daily. I like to know I got enough manna in the refrigerator to last me about a month, don't you? You know why he had them gather manna daily? Does anybody know? He wanted them to trust him every day to provide for them. We wouldn't have liked that. We want to know we got enough 5 years from now to take care of ourselves. We don't like to do things daily. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of what may happen or could happen. It's a fear of failing. It's a fear of failing. I've experienced that in preaching. I remember I was doing a funeral one time, and there'd be some pretty important people there, dignitaries. And I always just figured I was just dumber than a rock, and there I am preaching to all these big, highfalutin people. So it just grips me. Oh, you're going to look like an idiot when you get up there. You're going to fail. You're going to stammer. You're going to stammer. And it was killing me. It's a fear of failing. Many times when people's getting ready to sing or do whatever they're doing for the Lord, they have a fear of failing. And they don't do it. Instead of trusting the Lord, He's with you and so on, which we'll talk about this all under deliverance later. They don't do it because they're afraid of failing. Make mistakes. So those are three ideas of the word fear. Distrust of the promises of God. To be troubled. To be careful and troubled about many things. Fear of the future. fear of what could happen or may happen, which many times does not. But folks, one thing about worry, as Jesus taught us in Matthew, it doesn't change nothing. Does it change a thing? You worrying and keeping yourself up at night and all these, doesn't change one iota of what God's plan is going to happen. Does it? Not going to change one thing. The only person it really hurts is you. And a lot of times those that are around you. Okay, does everybody got the definition? Now let's look at some of the dangers of it. Let's go ahead and look at some of the dangers of it. Turn to Luke chapter 8. You still in Luke 10? Some of the dangers of it. Dangerous thing to take over your mind. We preached a message not long ago entitled The Battle of the Mind. Y'all remember that message? The Battle of the Mind. I encourage you to get that maybe off the website or right in the back and Melody will make you a copy of it. Battle of the Mind. Much of the Christian fight, folks, in the mind. Much of it's in the mind. Luke chapter 8. What's the dangerous about? What's the bad about worry other than it being a distrust of a promise of God? What's the bad thing about worry in the book of Luke chapter 8? In the parable of the sower, you have a picture of seed going out being sowed and then it coming up. And here's a seed that comes up amongst thorns. Start out well and then they get what? Choked out. I ain't got time to preach on the parable of the sower. I'm just using the illustration. They get choked out. Notice three things that chokes them out. Notice it says in verse 14. They go forth and they are choked out with cares. Same word in 1 Peter 5, 8 or 7 or 8. Casting all care upon you. They get choked out with cares, riches, and pleasures. Can cares choke you out? Sure can. They can make you unfruitful. You can be very active serving the Master. And get so overwhelmed with cares that it sideline you for a while. It really can. It can quench you. Where's sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so? What's happened? Oh, they've got all kinds of cares. Of what? Cares. It's drove them from the house of God. Staying at home. And it's just overwhelmed their mind so much that they don't want to go. They don't want to. They're so preoccupied with their cares. Folks, that's why the Lord says to cast them. Because if you carry them over a period of time, they will so weight you down that they can make you unfruitful. All God's people say it. They can make you so very unfruitful. That's what mentions as one of the things that happened to these people. Number two, they can take away all your joy. We'll move through these quickly. You can just write these down. And does everybody see how they can make you unfruitful? They can make you unfruitful. They can so overwhelm your mind that they just drive you just completely away from the things that you need to be doing. I've seen it happen a lot of times over the years. Number two, not only can they make you unfruitful, but they can rob you of your joy. They can take all your joy out of your service to the Lord too. You know we're to serve the Lord how? With gladness. But if you're not careful, that service will get to be a drudgery. And get to be a pain. So I cannot did to Martha. She was doing something good. She was preparing dinner for the Lord. And she had got so agitated and overwhelmed with care that it took all of her joy away. Did everybody see it? And it's a shame, but right there sitting at her table was the King of Glory. And she wasn't enjoying His presence. That's how you get. When you get overwhelmed with worry. Rob you of all your joy. You know, the greatest times, I'm going to tell you now, greatest times on earth is fellowship with the Master. But care can rob you of that fellowship. You can be so overwhelmed with it, so preoccupied in your mind with it, it takes all your joy away out of your mind. And it kills your service. You can be going through your service. You know, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your why. When you're close to the Lord and you're rejoicing in the great salvation He's provided for you, you have more vigor, don't you? You sing better. You know what? When I'm filled with joy, I sing better. Now, I don't mean sound-wise. I know I'm always loud. But when I have joy in my heart over the great thing, I sing better. I have more vigor in my service. My service has more joy in it. But when I'm filled with care and worry, it'll eat your lunch, son. I'm telling you, it'll take away all your joy. And the joy in your service, you'll be gone. So that's the second thing. It's a robber. It's a thief. It'll rob you of your fruitfulness. It'll rob you of your joy. Take all the joy out of your service. Just think for yourself. They're the King of Glory. The one that spoke the world into existence in 624 hours was sitting at her dinner table. But she wasn't enjoying Him being there. Why is that? Careful and troubled about many things. Number three, it'll rob you of your peace of mind. I think peace of mind is a great thing to have. I have peace of mind. You know why I have peace of mind? I know I'm saved. I know I have a home in heaven. I know I have victory over the grave. And I know if I die today or 10 years from now, I belong to the Master. I know that. You know what that gives me? Peace of mind. Very few people in the world have. That's what people are searching for, but they're searching for it in the wrong direction. You'll never find peace of mind in things of the world. You'll always be dissatisfied in things of the world. They don't bring satisfaction. Folks, nothing satisfies like Christ. That's where satisfaction's found. He's the fountain of living waters. I have peace of mind. But you know, worry will take away your peace of mind. Take it away. Can I ask you a question? Do you have peace of mind this morning? Knowing that God's in... I don't want to jump down here. Knowing that God's in control gives me peace of mind. Knowing that all things is working after the counsel of His own will gives me peace of mind. Knowing that God's in charge and I belong to that gives me peace of mind. How about you? Do you have peace of mind today? Worry, take the peace right out of your mind. And when you lose peace of mind, some of you might have come in today and your mind's more like the raging waves of the sea. Oh, folks, you need this message because that's exactly what worry will do. It'll absolutely rob you of your peace of mind. And you know, when you lose your peace of mind, it'll affect the way that you sleep. Have you ever lost sleep over worry? When you got something troubling your mind, here's what always happened to me. I'd lay down at night. One of the things worry does is it wears you out not only spiritually but physically. I've read several doctors' account where guys went to them. They thought they had some type of serious disease about them. The doctor got to investigate. It's worry. It takes your physical strength. And all you want to do is just, you're just so tired, just want to lay around and sleep all the time. It's because your mind's so preoccupied. And when you do lay down and sleep, what's got your mind? The worry. You ever woke up in the middle of the night, went to bed, worried about something, woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't go back to sleep? Because as soon as you woke up, boom, it came to your mind. Had to get up. It'll take away the peace. It'll take away the peace of your mind. And one of the great things about being saved, folks, and knowing the God of heaven, it's having that peace of mind. He'll take it away. Number three. Number four. It'll affect your health. I've already mentioned that. It will affect your health. Talked to a man the other day, and he's asked me what I was preaching on. I was telling him. He said, you know, my doctor told me that. I went, well, praise God for you, doctor. He said, I went to him, and I was having all this trouble. My blood pressure was sky high. I said, it was. And he said, you know, the first question he asked me, he said, are you worried about something? He said, yeah, I'm worried about it. He told that. I'm worried about this, and I'm worried it raises your blood pressure. I read one doctor's account where it says it affects your body's ability to fight disease. Read that. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what I read. Affects your blood pressure. Affects your energy level. Affects all these things. And I can go on and on talking about that. But it can and does affect your health. You know, when the Lord tells you not to do something, there's always a good reason for not doing it. Not only will it tear you apart mentally, but it also, and not only spiritually, but also physically, it'll affect you. That's why He says we're not to do it. So it'll affect your health. It'll kill your worship. The greatest thing this side of glory is being able to worship the King of Glory. You know, to worship the Lord, you know what I have to have? I've got to have the power of the Spirit. I've got to be able to think and concentrate. Worry takes away your mind. And let me tell you something. It'll take away your song. It'll take the song right out of your heart. When you're filled with worry, you're not going around singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You're just tore up. It takes your song. It takes your prayer. Because it takes over your mind. It kills your worship. You can show up for church, and during church still be filled with the same things, and it'd just be water off a duck's back. It kills your worship. Worry is indeed, folks, it's a very, very dangerous thing. It'll blind you to current blessings that you have. I used the illustration earlier of Elijah and going down. You know, the thing to have done would have been to thank God that the ravens were bringing his bread of the morning. Don't y'all think so? Oh, thank the Lord, there he comes in the morning. But you know what I'd have did? Oh, I wonder if he's coming back tomorrow. Oh, I hope the ravens come back tomorrow. Oh, I hope the Lord brings the manna on Tuesday. It robs you of time that should be spent praising God for current blessings you have. It's a thief. Oh, God's people say it. See where I'm coming from? We've looked at the definition, then we looked at the dangers. That's what all will do. Make you unfruitful. Take away your joy and your peace of mind. Take your joy out of your service. Hurt your health. Kill your worship. And you think, take the current time that should be spent praising, takes that away too. Because you're so fearful of the future. Now, we're ready to preach. I've got that all set up. Let's talk about deliverance. Does everybody understand the first two? Have you experienced the first two? I'd ask for hands, but I'm not. Have you experienced what the definition? Have you experienced the dangers? Have you seen these things in your life? How do you get out of this? I don't think there anyone here really wants to worry. Oh boy, I'm going to worry about this thing. I don't think there's anyone here that wants to worry. I want to get out of that. I'm going to show you how. Let's talk about the deliverance of worry. I think I can get this. I'm going to get this in this morning because I don't feel I can stop now. I think we need to run through it. Is that all right? All right. Five keys to deliverance from worry. Five keys to deliverance. Number one, I'm going to give you five words. Number one, remind. Write down remind. You've got to remind yourself. There's three things you need to remind yourself of every time you've seen yourself begin to worry. Three things. Here's three things that I remind myself of. They'll come right to mind and I'll remind my mind of them. You ready? Number one, remind yourself that God is in control. Somebody say amen. God is always in control. Ephesians chapter 1 says that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know what that means, don't you? It means He's always in control. Absolute control. Listen, of your life and my life. We're just not running through this thing here in life and thing happened by accident. Ain't nothing makes me madder than hearing one of God's people say, "Boy, I sure was lucky." That takes praise towards God and throws it out to chance. Don't believe in that. The Bible don't teach that either. God is in control. In your situation, you know what? God is always in control. Even when it looks like everything is falling apart to you, God is still in control. Do you believe that? In the book of Matthew chapter 8, whenever the disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee, they're in the boat, storm come. Do you think, who sent them across the Sea of Galilee? Does anybody remember? Jesus did. Did He know there was a storm coming? Sure He did. And He was so tore up about it, He went to sleep. He's asleep, and they're going across, and this storm hits, and the boat begins. And there ain't nothing. Now, I can't swim very well. There's nothing any more scary to me than raging water. I'll go across the bridge when it's up, and I'm like, "Oh, look at that water." I'll have an anxiety thing, you know. Scares me to death. Water began to fill the boat. Wind was contrary to them. Y'all think it looked like things? And on top of everything else, the master was asleep. Does this circumstances look bad? Have you ever been in one like that? Everything was falling apart. Then they wake the master up and they said, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing?" Remember what Jesus said? "Oh, ye of what?" See, he was, there's nothing to fear. Listen now, there's nothing to fear when God's in control. Sometimes you've got to remind yourself of that. Sometimes it looks like everything is falling completely apart. But when that child of God can calm their mind by reminding themselves that your God is still on His throne and still in control. All God's people say it. Remind yourself of that. First thing, He always knows what He's going to do. You ever read that in John chapter 6? I believe it was Philip. He's looking down, Brother Coy, and he looks down there in the valley, and there's about 5,000 men. There's probably 8,000 people. He said, "Philip, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people?" Oh, he done what I would have done. "Lord, if 200 penny worth of bread is not enough, sir." He began to figure out how it could get done. And you know, when he looked at that, he deemed that situation hopeless. But you know what the text says? It says the Lord knew what He's going to do. You know, in your situation, I'm going to tell you something. I don't always know what God's going to do. But I know one thing for sure. God always knows what He's going to do. All God's people say it. So remember, He's in control. And remember, under that point, remember, He always knows what He's going to do. You know, "Lord, if you told me what you was going to do 5 years ago, I wouldn't have worried about that thing for 5 years. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, then lean not to Him." When you lean to your own understanding is when you fall apart. I can't figure situations out sometimes. I just know that God's in control, and that helps me. Number two, remind yourself that God is with you. He's always with His children. Always with His people. Remember, worry is a form of fear. And do you ever notice in the Scriptures when God was going to comfort someone that was fearful, you know what He'd tell them? "I'm going to be with you." I like that. Look at Joshua chapter. Would you like to replace Moses? I don't know about you. That was a pretty big deal. And then you have to cross the Jordan and go in conquest of the Promised Land. Big deal. You know what the Lord told Joshua? "Fear not," Joshua 1:9. "Fear not, be of good courage. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." Whenever He wanted to chase away fear out of a fearful saint or out of a fearful child, He reminded them that He was with him or her. Moses, he was a shepherd. He was sending him before a great dignitary. He's sending him before Pharaoh. That'd be intimidating. And Lord, and Moses says, "Lord, I can't do this thing." And He said, "Well, surely I'll be with you." Book of Deuteronomy chapter 20, whenever the children of Israel went out into battle, they brought the priests out there and they were to address the people. You know, when they went into battle, many times they would be outnumbered 3-1. And they weren't allowed to have no chariots. They'd face all, you know, the most state-of-the-art fighting equipment was chariots. They weren't allowed to have, they were all infantry. They weren't allowed to have horses. They were all infantry. And then you're looking over here and you're facing these chariots and these horses and this greater multitude, better armed than you are. But the priest was to come out and say, "Remember your God. Remember your God is with you." Anytime that God's children were fearful, the first thing He did reminded them that He was with them. So number two, not only must you remind yourself that God's in control, you have to remind yourself that God is with you. I always figured, if God was with me, there wasn't nothing that could happen to me unless the Lord allowed it. I always kind of figured it in, if the Lord allowed it, and it must be for my good. Remind yourself of that. It gives me a lot of strength when I remember. I used the illustration earlier about when I was having my shoulder operated on. When I had that thing done, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, I will be with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Remember that text, one of my favorites? Give it to Jeremy when he preached his first sermon here. I focused on that word. I just kept reminding, God's with me. God's in control. But when they took me and they opened them big silver doors and shoved me back through there, and my wife kissed me on the cheek, and then I had to look at Kathy back there, or my nurse back there, mean and things. And then, you know what? They took my blood pressure. You know what it was? It was perfect. Seriously, they put that on there. My blood pressure should have been off the map. I'm emotional anyway. If you put blood pressure gauge on me after I'm done preaching, it almost blows it off the thing. But I'm emotional. I just my makeup. They put that on there, and it was 120 over 70, something along that line. It was perfect. And that doctor went, boy, I wasn't afraid, Tim. You know why I wasn't afraid? Somebody tell me. God was with me. And in that room, God was still in control. Number three, remind yourself that God worketh all things for the good. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I believe that. I just believe that. Now you, when worry begins to overwhelm your mind, you remind yourself of those three things: that God is in control, that God is with you, and that God's working all things out according for your good and His glory. That gives me strength. It chases away fear. It makes the situation that seems out of control under control. And it calms my heart. I believe everything in my life, folks, is going according to plan. I believe God controls that plan. It chases away fear. You know, if you was the disciples and you looked at if you was back there at the cross, boy, it looked like things was out of kilter, didn't it? They arrested the Master. They beat Him. Humiliated Him. Put Him on a cross. Crucified Him. Could you imagine going to one of the disciples and say, hey, this is all for the good? They didn't understand that then. He didn't open up their mind that they could understand the Scriptures till after that. They didn't understand it. They fell apart. I can understand why they fell apart, because it looked awful. But you want to know? That went just according to plan. Acts chapter 2 says that the Master was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Calvary wasn't no accident. It was a plan. Now, at that time, it looked like it was out of control, but God was in control the whole time. And it was working all things according to plan the whole time. Same thing is true of you. I believe that. And if you'll believe that, it'll chase worry completely out of your mind. That's the first thing you need to do, is remind yourself of those three things. You got those? Can I move on? Number two, you need to pray. I mean, is that not obvious? You need to pray. You don't need to wait 6 months to pray. You don't need to go to the preacher then pray. You need to pray. You need to go right to the king first thing. Whenever you look at Moses' example in the Old Testament Scriptures, when any kind of crisis happened, the first thing he did was fall on his face before God. Philippians 4:6 says to be anxious for nothing. What's that mean? Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He wants you to pray. When your mind gets filled with worry over whatever, something may happen, could happen, all these things we talked about, first thing you need to do, you need to pray. You need to remind yourself of those three truths that He give you, and then you need to cast all that upon the Lord. You need to go. That's how you do it. You pray. Psalms 50 says, call upon me in the day of thy trouble. You know He wants you to come. You know, I got children. Do you have children? You know when your children have trouble? Hey, let me ask you something. Do you want your children to come to you when they have trouble? You want them to come. And if they don't come, do you not get aggravated? Why didn't you come? The Lord wants you to come. He asked you to come. Hebrews 4 says we got a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help in time of need. You pray. Number two, you pray. You give that thing to the Lord. Number three. Now what's happening in a lot of our prayer whenever we're having a worry, what's happening a lot of times is what we're doing, we're going and telling God about it. I'm going to give you a great flash. He already knows. He already knows about it. He's already in charge of it. He's already permitted it or it'll never happen. He knows. But He tells you to come and pray. But what we do, we go tell Him about it. Have you ever went and had a worry and told God about it and came away just as worried as you when you went? You ever done that? You went and prayed, and oh, Master, there's this situation. And then you went, and I know I'm supposed to come to you, and I'm coming to you, and I'm praying. And you went away just as worried and tore up as you did when you went to pray. Well, it's just not praying. The third part of the lyric is you need to trust Him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 to cast all care. If you don't cast your care, it'll eat your lunch. It'll tear you apart. It'll make you unfruitful. We talked about all the dangers of it. It'll rob you of your sleep and your health and your worship. That's why He says to cast it, to give it to me. I read about a man that worried all the time. And when you're worried all the time, you're kind of like this. You know? Well, he went walking down one day and his buddy passed him by and he was a whistling. Had a little zip to his step. And his buddy said, "Hey, what's happened to you?" He said, "Well, I'm paying a guy to worry for me." So he said. He said, "Is that why you're so happy?" He said, "Yeah, I pay him to worry for me." He said, "Well, how much does that cost?" He said, $2,000 a week. I pay him $2,000 a week to worry for me. He said, "Really? How are you going to pay him $2,000 a week?" He said, "I don't know. It's his job to worry." Folks, we got someone that will take our worries for us. And we don't have to pay him $2,000 a week. We got to trust Him. The problem is we don't trust Him with what we take to Him. And I'm going to tell you why that is. I know why that is because I experienced it and I told you this before, but I'll tell you for you new people. We don't trust Him because we're afraid what we're asking He won't do. Let me give you an example. And my dad had his heart trouble. And they told us that the lower part of his heart was dead and all these things. And was God in control of that? Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I commenced to praying. Oh, when I got that news, I fell apart. I love my dad. And I wanted him better right now. Not in a week, now. I wanted him taken care of right then and there. So I commenced to pray, and it didn't do me a bit of good. I went down to the chapel, to hospital, and prayed. It didn't do me any bit of good. I was praying, telling God about it, but I was afraid He wouldn't do what I asked. You know where I'm coming from? Afraid He wouldn't do what I asked. You know when I got peace? You know when I really got peace in that? When I said, "Lord, He's yours. And Lord, I'd like for Him to be made better, but if it's His time, He knows you. And either way, Lord, He will be okay." And a peace come over my mind. See, I didn't get peace of mind until I trusted Him. Deliverance from worry. See, we talked about the reason why it's a sin is a distrust of the promises of God. Trust Him. Know He's in charge. Know it was all His. Put my confidence in Him. Oh, God's people. See what I'm saying? You got to trust Him. Number four. And we'll get done. Praise the Lord. That's why I started early, though. You got to saturate your mind. You got to saturate. That's the fourth thing. Deliverance from worry. If you saturate yourself with the negative folks of the world and the negative things of the world, You got to saturate your mind with the Word of God. Let me give me an idea. That'll help chase worry away, deliver you from worry. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Then He said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing." What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the Lord's feet. She was listening to His words. Part of deliverance from worry is saturating your mind with the Word of God. Come to the house of God and listen to the Word of God. Get in the Word of God in your heart and your mind. Psalms 119, David wrote, "This is my comfort in my affliction, is God's Word." I went to worrying before and got in the Word of God and read His promises, and it just raised me up. You got to saturate your mind with the Word. Saturate your mind with some good Christian music about the promises of the Word of God. Don't saturate your mind with woe and worldly things. You'll never get delivered from that way. And number five, I'll give them all to you again here real quick. It's good to fellowship with other people. Good saint of God. When I get overwhelmed in my mind with worry, I'll seek out a good, faithful, encouraging child of God to talk to. That can pray with me and can pray for me. That means a lot. To be able to just go somewhere, it's hard to... You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. They have good reward for their labor. For if one fall, the other will help him up. Woe to him that falls and is alone. Sometimes you need someone to help you up. Someone that can look at... I like that. Someone that can look at you and say, "You know, brother, I've been right there where you're at right now. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord done for me." And you can listen to them. They can just encourage you and lift you up. You need a good fellowship sometime. Call someone sometime. Just, "Brother, I'm tore up over this thing here, and it's killing my mind. And I want to tell you about it. I've been praying about it. I want you to pray for me." And just fellowship a little bit. Fellowship does your world good. Other Christians, other God's people. Well, folks, those are how you get delivered from it. Let me remind you of them again real fast. Don't zip them and shut them yet. Remind yourself of those three truths. God's in control. God's with you. God's working all things for the good. Number two, pray. Be anxious for nothing. Pray, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind. It's a privilege of, I guess you could say it's a privilege of sainthood, to be able to pray. Number three, trust. It means put your confidence in the Lord. Trust the Lord with the thing. You can't do nothing. Listen, you can't do nothing about it anyway. Trust Him. Number four, saturate your mind with the Word of God. Get it in your heart and your mind every day. When I was out of work, whenever I'd read the one ads, I was depressed. When I read the Word of God, things look brighter. And number five, fellowship. Get you a good saint of God. Call. Say, "Brother, fellowship with me." Those are five keys to being delivered from this toxic worry. It's killing you both physically and spiritually. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. All right. Not a real fancy man.